Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, February 13th, 2014. Tonight I will be talking about Fukushima situation in the United States and some things that you should be doing. The radiation has been coming in all winter. It's in the snow pack. It's in the snow. Will be melting, and this is going to cause some pollution, some serious pollution in the rain and the snow melting runoff, which is really covering much of the central and northern states at this point. So what are you going to do to prepare for this? What do you have to do? And this is not conspiracy theory. This is fact. The measurements, you can see yourself on the internet. Go to, there's any number of places where you can actually see the radiation patterns in the Pacific Ocean. And here's what's happening in a nutshell. The water evaporates off the Pacific Ocean. As you know, it's been blocked with an artificial high-pressure cell that's off the west coast of California. That water, that evaporated water from the Pacific Ocean that's laden with radiation from the Fukushima disaster, is moving north up through northern Canada, up over Alaska, where it hits the jet stream that comes down then into the central and eastern United States and goes all the way down as far as northern Florida. So the and it depends on a daily rain and moisture pattern, the where that particular radiation goes on that day. But in general, it goes all over the place. Radiation, the strontium and the other, these are the samples that they're measuring. That doesn't mean it's the only radiation in the mix. These are simply the things that they're measuring. The iodine, the strontium, these are the results of the radioactive decay, results of the pollution that's coming out of the Fukushima facility and has been dumping directly into the ocean and into the environment. If it goes into the air, then it eventually ends up in the ocean in rain. Ultimately, all of it ends up in the ocean. We're getting, of course, reports from all over the governmental agencies that observe wildlife in the Pacific Ocean that the bottom of the ocean is simply littered with dead fish and animals. This is a horrific event. It's the kind of thing that was bound to happen. And you are probably aware, my opinion, or my analysis, along with many other people who have looked at this, that the Fukushima event was a planned, man-made event. This was not simply the result of earthquakes, etc. And so anyway, that's a whole other story. The question now is what to do now that the radiation is entering the United States. The problem is it's what is known as biocumulative. If you have a plant, if you have something in the ocean, of plankton, if you have seaweed, if you have other oceanic plants, that all is the first level of the food chain. And so they accumulate. What they do is they filter the water. They filter the water to get their nutrients. And so anything other than basically water, water passes through. They have a way of absorbing water and then expelling the water, but absorbing the nutrients in the water, and that's what they grow on. They absorb the minerals. And so you have tens of thousands of times the concentration of whatever is in the seawater in the plant or in the plankton. Sometimes hundreds of thousands, millions of times the concentration, and that's what they have to accumulate to exist, to live. So that is true also of the radioactive isotopes that are in the water. They're accumulating that to a degree of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of times the concentration of the water. Then come along the next level of life in the ocean, which eats that plant or plankton all the way up to the biggest whales. And so this goes up the line. The earliest effects in many of the animals, of course, is to affect the DNA so they don't reproduce. The second, oddly enough, is in their cardiovascular system, and this is true of human beings, that they, oddly enough, besides cancerous effects like leukemia or radiation effects like leukemia, heart attacks and coronary problems are one of the main results. So that is one side effect of the radiation pollution in the Pacific Ocean, and you can see the concentration of the radiation right now is sitting off the west coast of California, about 300 to 400 miles offshore. And the other issue, besides being absorbed into the plant life, there was just an announcement that the tuna being sold in Japan now is getting 5% the price that it did last year, because the tuna is all radioactive. Not a big market for radioactive tuna these days. Not a good thing to eat, because it's in the tuna is the higher level of the food chain and has the highest bioaccumulation concentration of the radiation contaminants. Okay, so back to the rain. What else is happening with the radiation? The radiation is being is evaporating with the water that goes into the rain, and now you can see. Very simple, go to any of the weather stations, go into the Pacific Ocean region and click on the animation or the video type of reporting for the weather channel, whatever weather channel you're looking at. For example, in Telecast, click on the animation, go to the satellite, scroll down to Pacific Ocean. When that comes up, click on animation, and you will see the weather patterns in the Pacific Ocean. This is picking up water out of the Pacific Ocean, bringing it northwards up into the region around Alaska, where it picks up the jet stream that drives this water down. And all of this time, this Pacific moisture in the air, in the atmosphere, is moving like a giant river. There's a tremendous amount of water in the atmosphere moving in these literally rivers of moisture in the atmosphere, which ultimately end up coming down across Canada. And by the way, this is, as I said before, as these streams of air move and shift, and then rain along this entire path all the way down into Florida as it comes across the Arctic Circle, comes across Canada, comes across central, western, eastern United States. Some of that rain does get across. It is raining a bit in some places in California now, so they're getting it also. So the bottom line is the water that's falling out of the sky, whether it's in the form of snow or rain, wherever you are, sleet, whatever's coming down on a particular day where you are, it has radiation in it. This will get, that will follow the water table wherever that water flows, filling up the water tables as the snow melts, that goes into the ground. It goes down tributaries into rivers and basically goes into the water supply. So the entire water supply, whether it's your city or you have county water or if you have a well or whatever you have, it's going to accumulate. And there's the key word, is this is accumulating over time. The radiation doesn't magically go away. It accumulates. And so as time goes on, it will become more and more and more. My point is that you have to become prepared to filter this out of your water. Now, radiation is typically ionized, and it loves to grab onto dirt and dust particles. So it typically comes at you attached to something else. And that's a good thing if you are looking at filtration. The reason being is because if the strontium or the iodine or the other radioactive ionized radioactive elements were independent in solution in the water, you would have a very tough time getting them out. But they like to attach to other molecules and more typically pieces of dust. That's why it's so prevalent in snow, because snow begins with a piece of dust. And so all of that ionized radioactive material loves to become embedded in that dust particle that then creates the snowflake. Okay, so anyway, this is falling down. It's sitting out in your yard. If you look out in your yard and you see snow, inside every snowflake that's in that pile of snow is a radioactive fallout material. And it's in small quantities, but accumulatively, you have to get rid of this stuff. You have to filter it. Quite a long time ago, maybe 5 years ago, I don't really remember when, I put the Universal Chemrad oil filter on the market. And it's something that happened because I think it was around the time of the Iowa flooding. So it would have been around 2008, about 6 years ago. Yeah, because we're heading into the spring 2014. 2008 was the Iowa, the big flooding of the Midwest, which, by the way, I always said was a manipulated weather bombing of the United States. But at any rate, that's another story. The point is, that is when I introduced the pre-filter. And what this is it's a large funnel canister that sits on top of your gravity feed water filter. And I designed it so that it would fit any commercially available water filter on the market. There was a brand that I used to sell. I don't sell it anymore, but the canister, then I sold the Daltons, then I went to my own name brand filters. Then I came across with a new plastic housing, which is a larger, about a 4 gallon tank. Then I came out with the modular filtration and storage system, which is a big 6.5 gallon tank with 3 other 6.5 gallon sealed storage units with it. I put this on the market because I knew that someday we would have a radiation problem in the world and people would need a solution. Not only a way to filter water, but a way to store it in sealed containers that could not have any more dust or pollution. And once you get the contaminants out, you're going to have to store water in some kind of container. And you can't just go down to the hardware store or the home improvement store and buy this kind of stuff. It's just not available to the average person. And so what I did is I packaged this and I said, someday, I don't know when, someday people are going to need this. And so anyway, this is the time when, okay, people need these items. The pre-filter, let me explain how it works. It has paper, basically filters, almost like a big coffee filter type of paper, the kind you would use to make your little cup of coffee in the morning. But they're big. And there's a screen mesh which holds this in place, and you put powder. There are special powders that come along with the pre-filter. You put powder in there, and this, depending on what kind of pollution you have, if you have chemicals, you use one type of powder. If you have oil, you use another type of powder. If you have radiation, you use a combination of powders. And then there's a cover to this, and you pour your water into the pre-filter. It sits on top of your gravity feed water filter, and it takes the radiation or the chemicals or the oils out of the water before it goes into your clean water filter. Now, let's look at just radiation. If you put snow, if you put water, if you put tap water, if you put well water into your clean gravity water filter, or if you have, let's say, an inline water filter, there's even some that say they will take out radiation in an inlined water filter. What you are doing is you're contaminating your water filter with radiation. And eventually that radiation is going to break off of the dust particle or whatever it's attached to, and it's going to go right through into your water. And so make no mistake about it. When people talk about filtration of radiation, they're hoping that that radiation stays attached to the dust particle or the molecule or the larger molecule or whatever it's attached to. But it's not going to. It's going to break off, and it's going to flow with the water, and it's going to contaminate the rest of your water filter. And so you need a type of filter which is replaceable, and that's the whole idea of the replaceable powders in my pre-filter. That is that when you use it for a while, you throw out the powders and replace it with new powder, and so you're always taking out the radiation before it gets to your clean water filter. And this is the same case if you had chemicals, if you had oil in your water. You don't want that to get into your elements inside your clean water filter, gravity-fed water filter, because it's going to contaminate that, and once it does, the game is over. Your water filter is contaminated, and if you don't have clean water, how are you going to clean out your water filter? That was the case. In fact, the original reason for this was because of the terribly muddy water that was occurring in the flood situation. It was full of silt, very, very fine silt, and it was plugging up the water filters very quickly. Now, at that point, many of you may remember, I moved away from a certain product line. I don't know if you've been listening to me that long, but it was very clear that you had to have a cleanable water filter element. And if you remember the old black filters, I moved away from them because they really were not a filter. They were a absorber. And so you could not clean them. That was the big problem. So you had to go to a ceramic type filter element, which I sold also. But I went exclusively to the ceramic filter type elements because you could scrape off the surface, clean them, and reuse them. But if you had a tremendous amount of silt, like a flooding situation in your water, then you were constantly cleaning the filter elements, plus you were putting this sludge into your water filter, into your regular standard stainless steel or plastic canister water filter, and you had a big mess is what you had. Now, how do you clean this big mess if you don't have clean water? Well, it was a contradiction. And so, I mean, in the field, under harshest conditions, was born the whole concept of the pre-filter. And I'm the only person on the planet that has this. It's a tremendously successful product, but now it's to the point where everybody is going to need one of these. First of all, if you don't have a gravity feed water filter, I would suggest you get one. And the gravity feed water filters that I sell are the best on the market, and they're the lowest price on the market. And this sounds like an advertisement, but what I'm telling you is you have to filter your water. And not only do you have to filter it, but you have to pre-filter the radiation out of your water. I don't care if you have tap water. I don't care if it comes out of a well. Eventually, you're going to be accumulating, and this is the key word, accumulating radiation. There is a legal dose that the government allows, which I think is absurd, but they actually say you can have a little bit of radiation and it's within safe levels. I don't care what kind of person you're made of, if you're Superman, radiation is going to affect you. And it's going that radiation is going to move around in your system, and it's going to damage your DNA, and eventually it's going to cause cancer, leukemia, heart failure, other damaging, because this is very damaging to any type of cell structure. So at any rate, you have to get this radiation out of your water before you use it in your kitchen. and a standard water filter. I have them in all different sizes depending on your daily water needs. And I would suggest, too, that some people look at the what I call the modular filtration and storage system, because this is set up for people who have larger capacity requirements, people that have bigger families. And so you can filter the water and store it and have a reserve, say the electricity goes out and the tap water doesn't run anymore. What are you going to do? So, but the pre-filter also works with the great big 6.5 gallon tanks. There's an adapter, it's like a foam adapter ring that comes with it, and that is used to adapt the pre-filter to the big tanks. So at any rate, all of this is a system that has been designed for when these critical times arrive, and we are now there. There's no question the Fukushima radiation is coming into the United States. It's going to be in your water, and you have to get it out of your water. You have to filter your water, but you have to get the radiation out of the water before you put it into a filter to actually get clean water. Now, a lot of people are still not tuned to the fact that there's fluoride in their water. You have all kinds of chemicals and pharmaceuticals in your water because, say somebody's taking their antibiotics. They go to the bathroom, it goes into the sewage system, which goes then and is just replaced back into the water table eventually as so-called clean water. The water that you're drinking out of your city water and city tap, remember, they don't test it like they should. They run some government-sponsored tests, and those tests only test for certain trace elements. And I've talked about this before, how Bill Clinton upped the arsenic standard and therefore made a lot of city wells illegal overnight, forcing cities to put tremendous cost into infrastructure. But the whole point of that was to bring it under federal control. So your local water system now is no longer under the control of your local municipality government. It's under federal control. And that was the whole purpose of Billy doing that. Billy didn't, how'd Bill Clinton know about water standards? He doesn't know about anything else. But how did he know to do that? Well, somebody up above him realized that if they wanted to control the city water systems, they had to find some surreptitious way to get in there and take control, and that's how they did it. They did it by changing the arsenic standard in your local water filter. So anyway, the bottom line is your local city or municipality or county, wherever you get the water from, has a standard that's set for a few items. One of them is arsenic, but as far as everything else is concerned, they don't test the water. There's a little story, I've told it on my radio show before, where I decided, you know, being a person very relatively well-rounded and knowledgeable about water, water contamination, water filtration, etc., I was going to take my own tap water and send it in for testing. So I started out by calling the city. And I said, what tests do you run on your water? Well, at first they were very offended. Why would anybody ask them such a question? They were keeping, so their immediate answer was that they did exactly what was required for federal standards. And that was supposed to make me feel good. Well, they were talking to the wrong guy, because that's exactly the answer that made me super suspicious about what they were doing. And so what kind of tests they were running. So I pursued it, and I said, well, where do you have your analysis done? They didn't want to tell me. That's all done according to federal standards and federally certified laboratories. And as a citizen, I shouldn't be thinking about that or worrying about what they did, because everything was done according to proper paperwork. Well, it turned out that they weren't taking their tests and they weren't sending them in. That's one thing I found out. And they were, at best, could fake the tests. All they had to do was write something on a piece of paper and send it in. But at any rate, so I finally found out who the testing company was. And so I called up the testing company, and they were very offended that I would call them up, and they said, your city is the person you should be talking to, not us. We simply test the water according to federal standards for your city. So call the city. So I'm getting the runaround. You can certainly see what's going on here. And so anyway, then I decided, okay, well, what I will do is get my own independent test done on my water. This is the water coming out of the tap from the city water supply at my house. Okay, so call up a whole series. I start doing internet searches. I start doing telephone book searches. And I start asking around by companies that do chemical testing, and specifically for water. And so I, of course, want the best one, and I'm not worried about paying a few hundred dollars or more to have my water tested. I just want to find the company that can do the most testing and for what. So anyway, I finally, through asking, through references, etc., I get to the best company available for testing water. And I call them up, and they give me the same thing. They said, well, why would you test your water? Doesn't your city test your water? And I said, yeah, but I want to test my own water. And so they said, you have to take samples. We can send you a sample kit. You can take samples and send them in, and then you have to pay for the testing. And I said, okay, that's fine. And so then they send me a long list. And it's really it's a list of trace chemicals or other pollutants that I would want to have tested for, and I had to check off all the ones that I wanted to have tested. And I thought, well, this is rather odd. Here's a place that's running a spectrographic test on my water, and they should be able to identify with a computer, with the spectrographic results, all of the elements in this water that are not water. So they said, well, what do you want to have tested? I said, well, I want to know everything that's in the water that's not H2O. H2O is water. I want you to test and find out what's in my water. Oh, we don't do that. And so, anyway, you can see where this is going. I don't have to tell you the painful rest of this story. But the end result is no. Your city is not testing your water. You probably have chemical the corporation's doing chemical dumps in your area. We found out that east of a city called St. Paul, a company called Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, better known as 3M, the people that make Scotch tape and magnetic tape for computers and other types of for disks, data disks, etc. They make magnetic materials and all kinds of chemicals. They were dumping chemicals into a hole in the ground. They had a facility out in the country. There was nothing in the building except a hole in the middle of the ground, in the middle of the building. And they would drive trucks in there filled with chemicals from their chemical, runoff from chemical processes, and dumping those chemicals directly into a hole in the ground. 3M Corporation. They finally caught them doing this, because the way they caught them is the cancer rate in that area was skyrocketing. And everybody's coming in with cancer, and finally the doctors go, hey, something's going on here. Got to search this out and see what's going into the water supply. They finally trace it down to these particular chemicals that only a company like 3M would use. And then they trace it back to 3M Corporation. So the bottom line is, chemicals are all over in the groundwater. And so even though they slap 3M's hand with a fine, etc., it doesn't cure the problem. The problem is already done. But the real issue today, and the point of me going off into this rather lengthy discussion, is that people need to pre-filter their water before using it in the kitchen. They have to get the radiation out. And let me talk about another design of radiation removal that's on the market today. It's called the inline water filter system. It's like two or three in sequence water filters. One takes out radiation, one takes out something else. But here's the problem. It's in a pressure line, and once that radiation, it's attached to dust, it's attached to larger molecules, it's attached to possibly oil or other contaminants. Once that's in a water line with contaminants, it's going to break free and it's going to flow through all the water filters, because the strontium, the iodine at the atomic level is just like any other mineral. It's not going to be filtered out. Filters, by their very nature, filter out fairly large particles. That's why viruses, for example, typically will flow through any filter element. And so that's why there's other methods of killing viruses or doing in viruses in a water situation. But the inline water filtration for radiation doesn't work, because eventually that radiation is going to break free and flow into your water system. And so in the pre-filter, the whole point is, it's first of all under low pressure. So there's not a lot of strain, so to speak, on pulling that radioactive atom off of the whatever it's attached to. Secondly, you're changing out your powder, filtration powder, on a regular basis. And so it's not there long enough to then break away and flow into your clean gravity water filter. Okay, so now you can probably tell at this point that this is something I put a lot of thought into. There's the powders that come with the pre-filter are medical and food grade powders. They're not the kind of thing that you can go down to, like I say, the hardware store or the home improvement store and just buy some of this stuff. It's not available, nor is it available in the quantities that you need. So that's why I sell also an accessory kit that goes along with the pre-filter. You can buy more of the powders and the paper filter screens that you need to build this filtration system. So at any rate, okay, well, I'm about halfway through the program, but go to the web page, and this is something that literally everybody needs. And if you don't have a gravity water filter, you have to get that first. You have to select one and then select the pre-filter. And okay, well, that's it. If you can't understand what I'm saying, if you don't understand what you have to do, then you are going to be drinking radiation, and you and your family are going to be getting sick. I just want to add one note here, that the pre-filter is not available in foreign countries, unfortunately, because it's so heavy. The powders, etc., make it very heavy, and so it's just very expensive to ship to foreign countries. But I'm opening it up to Canada. And this is because of the need, this is because of the radiation pollution that's also occurring in Canada. But as with any foreign shipping, you will be charged the foreign shipping at the time the package is shipped. And so it might be a little bit of an extra expense, but it should not be that extravagant over shipping directly into the United States. And also Alaska and Hawaii, because of the shipping costs, it's stated on the web page that there will be extra charge for those, although once again not a lot. But anyway, Canada, I am opening up the only foreign country where we will ship the pre-filter, but it is now available for Canadian citizens or locations in Canada. Okay, enough of that. I should mention that every water filter purchase, whether it's water filter elements, water filter, whatever, any item, water filter, you will get an email with a link to my water book. It's called, entitled Water. It's my latest book in ebook format only, and you will get a free copy of that. It talks about the control of water in the world. It talks about who is confiscating water rights, and a lot of what's going on in California right now is controlled weather to prevent rain in California to force a drought and force control of water. So this is coming this spring. All of this is coming to a head this spring. And so I will be covering water issues on this show extensively. But once again, if you buy any water filter product or accessory on my webpage, you will get a free copy of my latest ebook, Water. I encourage people to go to my webpage because almost daily I put postings up there, postings that are relevant, postings that have insight into current events, and I'm not going to reread them on the air, but when at the top of my webpage, I can't leave these up there for a long period of time because it just becomes excessive. So I move my postings to a subpage called the Thought of the Day subpage. So make sure that when you go to my webpage, every now and then check that. It's scroll down. It's a link right down by the picture of the Tesla Tower. And it's called Thought of the Day subpage. Make sure you go there frequently and pick up the thoughts that I post on my webpage and then move down to the archive subpage, Thought of the Day subpage, for posterity. And if you haven't ever been there, go through and start reading some of that. It goes back years and years of comments, typically current events or other types of situations that need commentary. But it's an educational tool. It starts to form your opinions on how the world works. So be tuned to that. And then right next to it, there's a subpage called the peer review subpage. And it's about peer review in the journals, in the sciences, and it gives a critique of modern peer-reviewed science. It's something that most people should read if you're not familiar with how science really works today. I just wanted to quickly mention, even though this is posted on my webpage in a write-up, about the Beatles' 50-year anniversary this week. What they're not going to talk about extensively is John Lennon being murdered. Who did it? Well, obviously it was the CIA. Why did they do it? Well, John Lennon was about to re-enter the music industry after being out of it for quite a while. He had given away all his worldly possessions. His most recent song, which of course made worldwide acclaim, was to give up all your possessions, and he also talked about getting rid of religion. And now the whole point is that religions have been used by the bankers for a long time to quell the public. They control them in the United States through the 503C nonprofit tax structure. And also in the middle of most sermons, what happens is they pray for grandma who's sick or Aunt Molly who's got the operation coming up. And at the end of that little dialogue, they always say, and pray for our soldiers overseas who are defending our country. Now, that's a very subtle way of putting support of war in the middle of your religious ceremony. And everybody's supposed to bow their head and honor our soldiers in foreign countries supposedly defending our country. But the real issue, as I mentioned on the John Moore show the other day, was that our soldiers are really defending the natural resource procurement of international corporations. And that's primarily what they're doing in foreign countries. They're not defending us from terrorists. All of that's phony baloney, made-up terrorists. And to keep the people here dumbed down and thinking that our military is doing something useful. Make no mistake about it. When they went into Iraq, into Afghanistan, when they want to go into Iran, when they're in 156 countries with bases around the world, they are there on an economic mission of the World Bank to control. They work in concert with the CIA and other undercover agencies and the military they do the footwork. If the CIA goes in and cannot surreptitiously or under the table control the country, then the military goes in. Read a book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Read that book to see how it works, to see how the real world is working. So what I'm saying is that when John Lennon came out and was going to re-enter the music industry, his philosophy would have influenced a lot of people. Part of it was to give up your possessions. Don't worry about working that 40-hour-a-week job. You can live on much less. A person told me the other day that back the Native Americans that lived here before us worked an average of 4 hours per week for their sustenance. 4 hours per week. And, of course, they lived in a communal situation where they all contributed and lived off the land and lived within their means. They didn't take more than what they needed. And so the average amount of time spent per family for the caretaker of the family, who is the male, was 4 hours per week. Think about that. Think about all of the time people are spending working, pushing papers, writing emails, driving back and forth to work in your SUV, burning up all that gasoline doing it, paying interest on your house, paying insurance for the house that's overpriced, and paying taxes on all of this. Just imagine where you should really be. Plus, the wife is out working, the kids have to start working early to make ends meet, and the family is destroyed. So John Lennon entering the music industry could have influenced young people. So what do we have today? We have Justin Bieber, and for music, and anyway, read the rest of the posting on my webpage. But the whole point is that anything that steps in the way of the agenda of the world bankers, they put a bullet in. And John Lennon was about to turn the world upside down and away from the honoring the money god of the bankers. So it earned him a bullet, just like other people had earned a bullet, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, or Sonny Bono with his early morning so-called skiing accident. Sonny Bono was exposing the human trade that was going on primarily out of Israel and the human trafficking, not to mention the drug issues with the CIA and other issues with war, the war industry. It earned him a trip to the grave on an early morning so-called skiing accident. So anyway, what I'm saying is that John Lennon, you're not going to hear about that on the specials that occurred this past weekend regarding the Beatles. And when real information doesn't come out of the news, I put it on this radio show. It's not really dealing with science directly, but it is dealing with this whole situation that controls science. Very, very related. There's been a lot of chatter again recently about whether the Apollo mission went to the moon or not. I want to get away from that topic, even though I have a rather vocal posting on my webpage right now about that issue. The real issue is what is going on in the background, the Tier 1 science related to space, the Tier 1 science related to space activities in potentially the moon and other life in space or manned missions in space that you do not hear about. This is all hidden. Let's just take a little example here. During the Super Bowl a number of years ago, Janet Jackson had a little accident. And it made the front page news all over the country, all over the United States. And that was the same day that the military budget was being released. And I noticed that had a few notes on the back page of the newspaper when Janet Jackson was covering the entire front page of the newspaper. This is part of the entire communication manipulation control being pawned off on the American public. So remember that the Jacksons have managed to harbor a tremendous amount of front page news while a lot of other real news was going on in the background and totally unnoticed, unreported. But on the back page of the same newspaper, in which Janet Jackson had the front cover story, on the back page was the Naval Military Annual Budget and some highlights. The Naval Military Annual Budget for Line Item Hardware Procurement. This simply means this is money allocated for the Navy to buy hardware. Hardware that would come out of the aerospace industry purchased by the Navy. That's just one small piece of the Naval Aerospace Budget, was $60 billion. Okay, the annual NASA federal budget at the time was $17 billion, a full over three times the entire annual NASA budget for simply line item hardware purchases for the Navy for outer space, aerospace purposes. The Navy, a long time ago, it was granted the control of outer space, and it was for a very good reason. They said that the Air Force, they live on big air bases, they have their stuff spread all over the place, they require large amounts of space, and their pilots are only in an aircraft for a short amount of time, whereas the Navy had to live on a ship. They had to accommodate all of their living and existing, everything they did had to be compacted into a container, into a ship, and it had to go around for long periods of time. And so the Navy, therefore, was much better suited towards outer space activity than the Air Force. Well, one might think, well, the Air Force has jets and pilots, but the Navy does too. The Navy has a different modus operandi in which the pilots have to leave the ships and then come back to the ship, very much like you would have to do in outer space. So the Navy, because of all of their organization, because all of the way they treated things, and historically the way they viewed their operations, was much better suited towards outer space than the Air Force, and certainly better suited than the other branches of the military. So at any rate, the whole point here is that the Navy in the background has been the one that's actually been exploring outer space. And can you imagine the underwater bases, much better hiding place for outer space activity, coming in and out of the ocean where nobody would be able to notice. And so the whole idea that the Air Force has been kind of used for the space shuttle really is under Air Force control, the Vandenberg Air Force Base where the shuttle lands, etc., our Air Force facilities. So this is part of the Tier 2 smokescreen relative to the space program, whereas the real space program happening in the background is active, and you can only imagine the type of equipment that is available, the type of activity that is going on, and all completely shrouded from the public. Of course, Obama shut down the space shuttle. This whole argument about the Apollo program back in the 60s is really a time waster. The question is, did NASA do this? But it's, in a sense, it's a moot point, because the real question is, what's going on in the background? So like any Tier 2 fairy tale science, or anything that can take smoke and mirrors and cloud the public's vision of the real issues, the government loves it. They love it. So they would love for me to waste my time on this show talking about the Apollo program and if they did and if they didn't. And the bottom line is that NASA has never provided real proof that they did it. So the proof of burden is on NASA, not some NASA Trekkie that is a debunker, or not some person who's a moon hoax advocate that is exposing all of the baloney that is obvious in the Apollo program, and certainly not me. I wasn't there. I watched it on TV like everybody else, but I don't have any first-hand knowledge of what happened once that big Saturn V rocket left the atmosphere and the launch pad, that was the end of the show. Nobody had any vision of that except very few people. So we don't have any real evidence that the Apollo astronauts ever went to the moon or not. And if NASA provided that, that'd be slick. Then they could provide real evidence. But the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter was a scientific package that went up around the moon. It was supposed to orbit the moon and take high-definition pictures for future landing missions on the moon. And, of course, they were supposed to be able to take a picture of a pebble or a footprint or anything like that. And we're supposed to send back high-resolution pictures of all the Apollo lunar landing sites. They didn't do it. They showed some very low-resolution, high-pixel photos that I swear your cell phone camera could do better. Remember that on Google, you can see your house. You can see the license plate on your car in your driveway from satellite photos through our atmosphere on the computer, and you just go to your computer. You can see your house. You can see your driveway. You can see the boat in the backyard. You can see, you can look at an angle and see the license plate on your car. So you're telling me that NASA sent a Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter around the moon and can't pick up the details to that level on the lunar landing sites? What a complete bunch of hogwash. So literally NASA, and I wouldn't trust them to do it anyway, but that would have to correspond with all of the photos that are publicly available. And by the way, NASA has lost all of their photos and all of the footage and all of the documentation and all the design documentation and everything else from the Apollo lunar programs. Little problems like how could they spend 3 days on the lunar surface and everything had to be run off of batteries? Well, including the lunar rover, which was like a little car driving around, all kinds of questions. How did they, you know, this thing weighed a lot. How did they come down and land with a single thrust engine with this big extra weight hanging off the side over here? I mean, it's just colossal amount of really engineering boondoggles. They, because of Earth's gravity, they were never able to fly the lunar lander here and test it. So the question is, they don't have any engineering proof or design work for people to go back and look and see what they did and see if it was even viable. All of that has been destroyed and lost. So anyway, the real proof of burden of proof is on NASA to provide real proof and have it verified by an independent third party. And since none of that has ever been done, don't worry about debunkers or people that NASA pays to try and convince you they went to the moon. You need data. This is science. This is not about personalities or what I think or the other person thinks. Science requires data. It requires third-party verification. NASA has not done that. End of story. You know, their claim of going to the moon is not verifiable. And so, okay, but my point is, see, I'm wasting my precious show time talking about this stupid topic when the real topic is what have they done? See how that topic clouds the issue of what has the Navy been doing in outer space with your tax dollars, with your money, and then hiding it from you? What abilities do they have? What bases do they have on the moon? What things do they have orbiting the moon? What things do they have in outer space? What is going on in outer space? And this, remember, is your birthright, your ability to go into space, to take the human race into outer space is your birthright, not some guy in the military who thinks, you know, some Dr. Strangelove guy in the military who thinks that all of this should be top secret classified military baloney. A bunch of cowboys riding around and, you know, shooting six guns out in outer space, and that's what they think. And that you are stupid and should stay in your SUV driving around and pay taxes so that they can play cowboy out in outer space. That's what's going on. So the question is, what is really going on? And I can guarantee you, it's a lot. It's a lot. That's all I can tell you. So that's the real story. So all of the smoke and mirrors about Apollo, forget about it. Whether it happened or not, NASA can't prove it. And the real issue is, what are they doing today? I wanted to make a quick comment here about homeschooling. There are many more people today homeschooling their kids. And using my books and DVDs and CDs, educational materials, as one of the sources of information for their kids, and my radio show, it's important for kids today to understand what's going on. Kids today are being bombarded at a level never, ever, ever imagined in the past. When I grew up, there were influences. People thought that the Beatles were bad, a bad influence, etc. But that doesn't hold a candle. If that was bad, it doesn't hold a candle to what kids are exposed to today, and the levels of misinformation and the sheer amount of agendas that are being pushed on kids without the parents' consent, without the kids knowing what's going on. So it's really important for kids to get tuned at an early age. So that's one thing I'm very happy about, that many people are using my books, DVDs, CDs, and radio shows to educate their kids, to show them what's going on in the world, understand how the real world works. And when these kids grow up, they will be able to, the first thing is to have information. Compare them to kids who simply listen to the music of the day or play video games or spend half of their time doing texting on their cell phone, etc. Kids today are really, it's really a bad situation. Their personal information is already absconded with on Facebook and Twitter, and when they're on the computer on Google or anything else, all of their movements, all of their thought patterns are controlled. Google not only has the ability to know who you are, but to tailor the information they send to you to influence you to become a different person or to influence your thoughts. So at any rate, I just wanted to say to kids out there and parents who are homeschooling their kids, or even if their kids are going to a public or private school, whatever, no matter what level they're at, whether it's kindergarten or all the way up to PhD level students, get a clue. You have to really break through the baloney today. So I'm about out of time here. My webpage, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com, short for JMcCanneyScience.com. Go there and remember the pre-filter. If you don't have a gravity feed water filter, you got to get one and put the pre-filter on top of it. This is a requirement. As the spring thaw occurs, the rain and the snow melt, the water is going to be polluted with radiation. You got to get that out of there. Once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is Jim McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.